Well, 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 look who decided to show up.
Yeah, taking his sweet-ass time for real, right?
It's Father's Day. Craig's taking his fucking damn time.
Oh, damn. It's right. He's got his kids down by the river
today. He must have dozed off. He was probably resting his eyes, and then it turned into a whole nap.
Yeah. It was a dad nap.
So speaking of dad naps, this is episode 36 of TH Fantasy. 36, Ryan. We're going, man. We're going.
36. And per our new tradition, we've got some interesting players that used to play with number 36. But I don't know. I guess we'll do that the last thing we do.
I don't know. I'm kind of feeling us like we start with it. Let's try it out. We've never done it as it's starting, so let's see how it works.
Sure, we can start with it.
So episode 36, we're going to talk about our favorite 36s in sports. Could be players, could be things. Ryan, you've got a couple, so why don't you do one, I'll do one, and then you go from there.
Well, one of my guys ties in with, I think, one of the guys that you were going to talk about. So okay. I'll wait to talk about that guy until you talk about it. But let's talk about Marion Motley.
Marion Motley.
He played for the Cleveland Browns mostly, but interesting fact about him is he was drafted as one of two first African-American players to play professional football. Actually, cool. the year before Jackie Robinson was drafted in baseball, he was drafted in 46. Robinson was drafted in 1947. So a little bit of interesting history.
Damn, that's cool.
He also played running back and linebacker. He had an interesting career. He averaged 5.7 yards a carry.
That's awesome.
The last stat I have about him was that Hall of Fame player Joe Perry called Motley the greatest all-around player ever to play the game.
I'm seeing, actually, as I'm reading this, I'm seeing quite a few people echo that sentiment. This guy's a Hall of Famer. Yeah. But I'm seeing a lot of people that are like, oh, yeah, this guy was one of the best running backs of all time, best linebackers of all time.
And then another guy that kind of goes along with, you know, being on the forefront of African-Americans playing in the league. This guy was a little bit later. He played with the Raiders from 61 to 67. So I'm assuming he played with Coach Madden, right?
Probably.
Running Madden back.
Might have been the 70s. I'm not sure.
Running back Clem Daniels, he was 1963 American Football Player of the Year, averaged 5.1 yards a carry. He had over 5,000 rush yards in his career, 30 touchdowns, 3,300 receiving yards, and 24 reception touchdowns in his career.
Damn, Christian McCaffrey-esque.
Yeah. He was a good pass catcher, I guess, too.
He was an AFL guy. He wasn't even an NFL guy.
Yeah, American Football League Player of the Year, 1963.
Wow. So we've got a couple of old school guys. We got Clem Daniels. Clem. Yep. That's a name right there. And then we've got, what's his name? Marion Motley. I'm going to look up some Marion Motley highlights later if I can.
Some other notable names, I wanted to pick some dark horses, but obviously we all know Jerome Bettis wore 36 and we don't need to really talk about him. He's great. And actually, OJ Simpson actually wore 32 at some point in his career, or 36, even though he's known for wearing 32.
Right. I saw that too. Yeah.
But, we won't say anything about him.
My 36 is plucked from obscurity as a guy that, you know, he actually did pretty good. He put up a respectable 9.2 points a game in basketball, shooting at a two-thirds clip. He had 4.5 rebounds a game, 0.7 assists per game. This is my number 36, Boston Celtics player, not Marcus Smart, but Shaquille O'Neal from the 2010 Boston Celtics. Yep. he was brought in to try to push when they did that. Like, that was one of their last years with Paul Pierce, Rajon Rondo, Ray Allen, and Kevin Garnett. So they brought in Shaq And he was old. This was his last year in the league.
That's what I was going to ask. Wasn't it his last year, right?
2010-2011. Actually, they finished first in the Atlantic, ironically, and they would go on to beat the New York Knicks in the first round in a 4-0 sweep, and then they lost to the Miami Heat in the next round of the playoffs. That was the Miami Heat, by the way, that lost to the Dirk Nowitzki Mavericks in the finals.
Okay.
First year of the Big Three.
And Shaq was also known for doing some chicken dances.
Yes.
As celebrations. So, to tie in our Shaquille O'Neal correlation, we've got our last player that we're going to talk about, Merton Hanks, San Francisco 49er safety for 9 seasons in the 1990s. Shaq's chicken dance celebrations were taken from this guy who started these celebrations.
I remember this guy. I totally remember this guy.
He's currently the senior associate commissioner for the Pac-12. He ended with his career with 501 tackles, 33 interceptions, 410 interception yards, and 3 touchdowns. He was also a member of that 94 San Francisco Super Bowl team. But yeah, I thought it was weird when I was looking up the numbers that Shaq and this guy had a correlation of doing the same celebration dances.
And they're both number 36, man. What a small world.
Yeah. Right.
All right. That was a fun 36. So let's kind of talk a little bit about what we're doing going forward. We got a few weeks to fill before training camps get popping. So we're going to go back and recover our teams, but with a different perspective, with more of a fantasy perspective. We're going to focus on the offense. What are we expecting from these players? What do we think you can expect from them in fantasy, whether you're redraft or dynasty or whatever? And we're going to each do 2 teams instead of making these episodes super long. We're cutting it in half.
Yes, more importantly, we're trying to cut these episodes down to half an hour, 45 minutes instead of 2 hours. So
yeah, no kidding. So let's just get started. Ryan, you're covering the teams that I covered. I'm covering the teams that you wrote about initially, so we can kind of get full coverage here going on. So,
correct. I'll start with the less exciting team that I researched this week was the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay.
So let's see where to start. We want to start with quarterbacks.
Yeah, probably best.
Okay, so there wasn't. Obviously, their new quarterback is Marcus Mariota this year. There's not too much to say about Mariota from last year because he was a gadget guy working in Vegas. He would come in on those gadget plays when Carr needed a rest or something like that, and they wanted to run the Wildcat or something like that. Surprisingly, I didn't know this about Mariota. I knew he was a high draft pick, but he was actually second pick overall in the 2015 draft, I think.
Yep.
A lot of expectations were for him, and he just really couldn't deliver. I mean, he's got a career 62.8% completion percentage, which is not that great. He's 11-28 for 1795, passer rating of 89.5. It's not that great.
No.
And only 77 touchdowns, and he's been in the league for, this will be his 8th season or 7th season. The last season he played almost all the games was with Tennessee, with his tenure in Tennessee. And he played, I think, 15 out of 16 games. And he went 228 for 331 with a little over 2,500 yards passing and only 11 touchdowns. So it's not, and that was like, you know, his best year where I could pull a bunch of stats from. So
okay,
very underwhelming for a second round overall pick. Even though I know Tennessee is predominantly a run heavy team, but not that great. I don't have a lot of expectations for Mariota in Atlanta's offense this year, but who knows? They're, maybe this is the team he jives with. But also, Atlanta drafted Desmond Ridder, and I think by the end of the season, he'll end up hopefully starting. I mean, okay. They got to put some stock in him. That's what they gambled with this year. That's going to be their franchise quarterback probably after this year. I don't know. Was Mariota drafted on a 1-year contract? Do you know?
So Mariota's got a 2-year deal, as if I recall correctly. And I think you bring up a good point. Like, they want to see, like, there's a couple of really good quarterbacks coming out next year. So I think Atlanta wants to see if Ridder could be the guy so that they don't have to take a QB at the top of the first next year.
Another reason I'm not too excited for Mariota is that Atlanta is in the middle of the pool for the 16th or the 16th best strength of schedule in terms of relating to fantasy points given up by quarterbacks.
Okay.
But you never know. These guys could jive. He's got weapons. He's got hits. He's got Cordarrelle Patterson. They also drafted Tyler Allgeier, who could also be starting by the end of the year. I mean, look at what happened to Cordarrelle Patterson in the latter half of last season.
Yep.
Just like disappeared. And
something that I don't think people were paying attention to, which is something that we did on the DFS show, is we noticed that like at the end of the year, Mike Davis was getting more of the carries and opportunities through the air.
Yeah, it was weird how they did that. And obviously, Mike Davis isn't there this year anymore. They brought in Damian Williams.
Right.
So I kind of like the talent that they drafted out of this draft, and we'll see what they do with that. Like, I think Ridder and Allgeier could both be starting by the end of the year, but
that'd be fun.
I really just hope that their quarterbacks jive with Pitts, because Pitts is projected to be the number 3 tight end overall this year. They're still putting obviously they're projecting more touchdowns because he had such a Julio Jones like year last year, where he only had 1 touchdown over 1,000 yards. But they're projecting him, I think, around 4 touchdowns, and I think he's going to get more than that. I'm thinking 6 or 8. Because Mariota's, let's face it, he's not going to be throwing downfield to this guy. He's going to be getting red zone targets. I think that's going to be more in their game plan.
Okay.
And Pitts is big. He's that perfect red zone target. Those fades to the corner.
Dude, him and Drake London, they got basketball players out there, man.
I know. And yeah. That's another great, draft pick that they picked up this year too, Drake London. But other than that, like, their wide receivers are shit. I mean, we've got Olamide Zaccheaus, everyone kind of got, I loved the hype on him when he started getting after that New Orleans game. It was like week 9. He had 3 receptions for 58 yards and 2 touchdowns. And everyone was like, Zaccheaus, he's going to be the greatest. He's going to be the greatest.
He's going to fill the Ridley role.
No, guess what? Zaccheaus all year didn't have more than 3 targets or 3 receptions a game. That's it.
Right.
And his best game ended up being that week 9 New Orleans game where he had 2 touchdowns. That was it. So he's just a compliment to where they can figure things out. They also brought in Bryan Edwards and then a handful of other scrubs I don't even want to talk about.
Sure.
But Drake London's he's expected to be their number 1. And a lot of his projections I'm seeing for him to catch over 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns. But I don't think that's going to happen with Mariota, especially with Pitts out there. Because if we think Mariota is going to throw for, I'm going to even say a modest 3,000 yards, which I don't even think he's ever done. like it's going to be tough in Atlanta this season. I mean, sure. It sucks that they have this great talent in Pitts and London and Allgeier, but they got no one to throw to him. And
yeah, but if they get that quarterback next year, that offense is fucking flying, man.
Yeah. Interesting fact, too, they also picked up Firkser from Tennessee.
Sure.
So one of my, bottom of the barrel tight ends I like to talk about. So he could potentially see some red zone targets too. But this year, their offense is going to consist of a lot of short passes, a lot of running, and a lot of Younghoe Koo field goals opportunities.
So who do you want from this team in fantasy? Like, where would you be willing to take the guys that you want? Where would you take Pitts? What round in redraft?
Pitts, if he's consensus number three in most projections this year,
would you take him in round three of redraft?
I'd do two or three. I'd do two or three. Low two, anywhere in the threes, probably. Yeah.
What about Drake London?
I don't know, man. Projections are projections, and I don't. It's going to be lower than his ADP, I think, for me, just because of who's throwing the ball. And it's too early to tell what's going to happen. You never know. Desmond Ridder could come in and get a nice chemistry with him, them both being rookies. But if Mariota's starting the year, whatever his ADP is, it's going to be at least a couple rounds lower for me.
Okay, so I read a really interesting article from Michael Salfino from the Atlantic yesterday, and I don't want to run too late, so I'm just going to try to give you the quick wrap. Is that since 2018, 29 rookie running backs and wide receivers have cracked the 170 point mark in PPR. So that's a top 70, top 6 value. 29 of those. Top 48 pick has gotten at least 200 PPR points, and 16 rookies have done that since 2018. So there's been 29 total relevant fantasy rookies that have put up over 170 PPR seasons in the last few years.
Uh-huh.
10 of those 29 have been first round picks, 10 were second rounders, and 7 were taken in the third round or later.
Wow.
So our hit rate is like, you want those first round receivers to try to get that return on investment. So let me tell you what the ADP market is for these first round rookies right now.
Okay.
Drake London is about wide receiver 40 overall. Garrett Wilson is wide receiver 45. Olave 47. Jameson Williams 56. Dotson 65. Treylon Burks 38.
Yeah, I know everyone's going to be high on him this year. So that puts Burks as the first rookie wide receiver taken?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So would you take Drake London around wide receiver 40 in redraft? Let's say that puts him around round 7, round 8.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Cool. I'd take other players over him.
Okay.
I'm just not, other than Kyle Pitts. And then, like, even taking Kyle Pitts this year is going to be nail biting all year, just because we're going to be so frustrated, I think, with either Mariota's not passing the ball in the correct spots for him and he's dropping a lot of passes. I don't think there's going to be a lot of jiving on Mariota's end.
Remember, though, Mariota feeds tight ends. Remember Delanie Walker years in Tampa Bay? I know that, or in Tennessee. I know that's a big thing for Mariota's, feeding the tight ends. The problem is, Atlanta uses Pitts all over the formation. They don't use him in the same way that other teams use the tight end.
Right. And Atlanta also has a shit offensive line. So
right. So okay. So that's good. That's good to see where you're at on these guys,
yeah,
especially because we're in a few of the same big money leagues together, and I like to know when I can snake you on dudes.
Or maybe I'm just feeding you misinformation.
You're going to use the podcast to lie to me, dude? That's fucked up. All right.
I think that's all we need to say about the Falcons. Let's move on, Tony.
Okay. So I'm going to hop in, and I'm going to start with the Colts.
I like the Colts this year.
I do too, and let's talk about why. So I'm looking at like 4for4.com, their rankings for redraft quarterbacks. Matt Ryan is 22nd overall.
Really?
He's behind Trevor Lawrence and before Zach Wilson. His His PFF numbers, like their rating system, has indicated that for the last 3 years, Matt Ryan's been in a decline. But let's take a little bit of a deeper look because I want to put context to that and I want to adjust our expectations because I'm going to be honest with you, man. I think Matt Ryan's a sneaky play this year.
I know. I'm liking it too. And I think a new change of scenery for him. And they've got Pittman and Taylor and that. Who's that new wide receiver they drafted? That's supposed to be really good.
Pierce? We'll get to him.
Yeah.
We'll get to him, my friend.
He's going to be real sneaky.
We got some things. All right. So Matty Ice, last year, even during his downslide, is still a top 10 quarterback at throws that are 20 plus yards downfield. And he's also a top 3 quarterback for routes that are between 10 and 19 yards from the line of scrimmage. So he's a great mid to deep range passer. He is an elite passer when he has over 3 seconds in the pocket, which, by the way, the Colts, like, if their offensive line bounces back, he's going to have 3 seconds to throw all the time.
Yeah.
Colts
should have, they don't have a shitty offensive line, but they've got.
No, they've got a good offensive line. They just had some injuries last year.
Okay.
By the way, Alec Pierce managers, remember that Matt Ryan is one of the best quarterbacks at both finding and accurately throwing to his second read on a given play.
Yeah, and that's why I really like Alec Pierce.
We haven't even scratched the Alec Pierce surface yet, my friend. He's still accurate. He still gets the ball to a number of different receivers. Last year, over 6 guys had 50 or more targets in Atlanta. So the question is, how much of this regression is because he played for the Falcons and how much is it that he just doesn't have it anymore? And the second question I have about Matt Ryan this year is he only going to be asked to be a game manager, or is signing him a sign that the offense will be a little bit more than just Jonathan Taylor? I think Matt Ryan's still got it, man. I think Matt Ryan's a value this year. He's playing with the best running back he's ever had. His ceiling, I think, is like that Ryan Tannehill year in 2020 with the Titans, where he's like, that year Ryan Tannehill threw 33 touchdowns to 7 interceptions. I think that's like Matt Ryan's ceiling.
Sure.
I think if you absolutely need a second quarterback, Matt Ryan's the best quarterback. I think Matt Ryan's like the best super flex quarterback you can get.
Are you thinking Ryan's going to throw over 4,000 yards?
I could see it, but I could also see him throwing for closer to like 33 to 35, but being hyper efficient.
Yeah. Because I think, like, if you looked what happened last year with Indy, they would go like back and forth to where, like, one game, Taylor would be the whole offense. Then the next game, Wentz would come out and throw for 300 yards. And then I think that's going to be back and forth again this year, I think, with their game script.
Sure. I think it depends all about how their defense plays. All right, so I don't want to spend too much time talking about Jonathan Taylor because he's the best football running back in football last year, has the best chance to do it again this year. He led the league in carries, yards, and rushing touchdowns. But you want to hear something weird? When you think of Nyheim Hines, you think he's a receiving back, right?
Uh-huh.
He and Taylor caught the same amount of passes last year.
Really?
They both had 40 catches. So, I'm saying, like, they have to, like, chill with Jonathan Taylor, right? They're not going to give him, like, 400 touches again this year, right? You got to think.
I don't know, man. Every year we say that with Derrick Henry, and look what happens.
Well, the Colts brought in a quarterback. So, I think they brought in a quarterback to throw the damn ball. I think Hines gets out there a little bit more on passing plays.
Sure.
I think having a healthy Quentin Nelson on the offensive line is going to be great for Taylor. Listen to this. Of Jonathan Taylor's 1,811 rushing yards last year, 1,272 of those yards came after contact.
1,200?
Yeah. So imagine if he gets a little bit more push on the offensive line, he could get even more.
Yeah.
His backups, so you got Taylor, you've got Nyheim Hines, who I think is actually not a bad play this year. I actually don't mind Nyheim Hines. He might be like the last guy on my bench, but I don't mind it. Phillip Lindsay and Tyson Williams are backups. I'm not worried about them. You don't need to worry about them. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the wide receivers. We got Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce, Paris Campbell, Ashton Doolin, Mike Strachan, Strahan, Strachan. I don't know. Taking up too much space on my fucking dynasty. Whatever. All right, so with a new quarterback in this offense, what I kind of had to do was like hybrid together what Matt Ryan did in Atlanta with what the Colts like to do in the passing game. And I got good news for you. Michael Pittman is going to be a fucking monster. Michael Pittman is strong in the middle. Michael Pittman is strong in the mid-range game of like 10 to 19 yards. Matt Ryan is really strong in those regions. That's what he does best. Yeah. So it's one of those things where this is where Pittman's the most effective and this is where Matt Ryan's the most effective. So I think these two skill sets blend together super well.
Another player that could benefit from that was their draft of their tight end, Jelani Woods.
I got some Jelani Woods talk coming.
Excellent.
So in best ball tournaments right now, Pittman is being ranked as like a wide receiver 2. You know, like wide receiver 14, wide receiver
15. Yeah.
And guess what? I think there's a reality where he turns in a top 10 season this year.
Yeah.
Michael Pittman, top 10 wide receiver this year. I'm saying it. It's there. It might be 8 overall, but I think he's a value right now.
Yeah. It could even be 10, yeah. But yeah, he's going to get some catches.
All right. So, I don't know exactly how well Alec Pierce is going to translate to the NFL, but I'm going to tell you a couple things that give me optimism. First off, like we were talking about earlier, Matt Ryan is so good at finding the second read on his play. And if Alec, like you got to imagine when he goes back to pass, Pittman's going to be the first option.
Probably, yeah.
And so I would assume that Pierce would be the second look. And if Matt Ryan's good at throwing to his second look, I want that guy. Also, Matt Ryan's favorite route to throw is the hitch route. And Alec Pierce's favorite route to run is the hitch route.
Excellent.
Zach Pascal saw 67 targets in that spot in the offense last season. And I would say if Pierce gets a little bit more than that, maybe like 70 to 75 targets, I would consider that like a super good rookie season for a wide receiver too. And like that would be like arrows pointing way up for this guy.
Yeah.
Paris Campbell has played in 15 games over 3 seasons. I don't care about Paris Campbell. Ashton Doolin had 22 targets last year, and his job as going deep might be something they just have Alec Pierce doing. I have no clue who's playing slot in Indy, but I don't fucking care. It's Pittman.
It's not going to matter.
All right, let's wrap it up. Let me just do the tight ends here. Jack Doyle had 43 targets last year. Mo Alie-Cox had 42. Jack Doyle is gone, so we have 43 vacated targets for the tight end. They're going to be distributed somehow. I think Pittman and Pierce get some of those, but I also think Colts tight ends are going to get a decent run. Kylan Granson didn't do much last year. He got 15 targets. Jelani Woods is an awesome prospect that will see the field this year, but he needs time. He's not going to be the starter anytime soon. Matt Ryan targets the tight end position a lot. Kyle Pitts had more targets per game last year when Calvin Ridley was in than when he wasn't in.
That's crazy.
Right? I don't think Colts tight ends are going to see like the 6.8 targets per week that Pitts did, but 4 to 5 passing attempts a game towards the tight end I don't think is too far-fetched. For all tight ends that got over 20 targets last year, Mo Alie-Cox's average depth of target was 9.98 yards down the field.
Wow.
That was fourth most in the league for all tight ends over 20 targets. Mo Alie-Cox's
That's target. That's crazy.
Yeah, Mo Alie-Cox's targets last year were farther down the field than all of Waller, Goddard, and Kittle's average yards.
Really?
Yes. I think Mo Alie-Cox is super undervalued as his current price of tight end 26.
I think he's going to be super cheap too on FanDuel for fantasy lineups. So that'd be a good guy to keep in the back of your head for when you're trying to put together fantasy lineups, but we'll see. Because I remember Mo Ali Cox was not above like 5,000 last year, I don't think.
Right, on in FanDuel, right. So
Yeah.
But there was also, he was splitting with Doyle, and Doyle's gone. So I think Mo Ali Cox has a path to 50 to 55 targets. I think he's a lock. You know, there's like the tight end blob after like tight end five, where they're all kind of the same, and you're just hoping for a touchdown to have him pop.
Right.
I think he's being drafted in like the third tier of tight ends, but I think he should be drafted in the second tier. So I think Mo Ali Cox's value, if I'm in a redraft league and I miss out on, you know, Kelsey, Andrews, Pitts, Waller, Kittle, Goddard, and like Schultz, I might just wait and get Mo Ali Cox in round 14.
Yeah, why not?
He's cheap, and I think he's undervalued. So I'm all about Matt Ryan this year. I'm all about Michael Pittman this year. I'm all about Alec Pierce this year. I'm all about Mo Ali Cox this year, and Jonathan Taylor's Jonathan Taylor. So wheels right up the Colts offense. I'm all about it. So that's my Colts spiel.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try and definitely target a decent amount of indie players this year for fantasy. All right. Shall we move on?
I'm ready for it. Is it so you're going to go from the second pick of the 2015 of the NFL draft to the first pick of the 2015 NFL draft?
Yes, that is correct.
All right. So
we're talking about the New Orleans Saints.
Let's go.
So the New Orleans Saints, let's look at their quarterbacks really quick. They've got Jameis Winston, obviously, who Tony mentioned was the number one pick in the 2015 draft. They picked up Andy Dalton, former Cincinnati Bengal, former Bear. Not too much about him. They also have Ian Book, Notre Dame product, who was drafted last year.
That game that he played last year, man, he sucked.
Which week was that?
I think it was when they played Dallas, because Taysom Hill hurt his hand on a throw.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But anyways, so let's talk a little bit about Jameis. Why was he injured all last year? It was
he tore his ACL.
That's right. So the year before that was his best year as a quarterback, 2019 season. He actually, I think, had the most passing yards in the NFL, 5,109.
Yeah.
But he had 33 touchdowns, but he also had 30 interceptions.
Right.
So he, what was it, 626 pass attempts. That's crazy.
It's a lot.
And he's only got two other years where he went over 4,000 yards. It was his rookie season and the latter season, 15 and 16. And those were obviously in Tampa. So he's got a lot of promise for a quarterback still, at least a lot more than Mariota. I got a lot more confidence in Jameis than I do with Mariota.
Absolutely.
And honestly, the sample stuff that they have or that they offer, because obviously he doesn't have a lot of stats from last year, but he really jives with Marcus Callaway. And Callaway looked really decent last year. He could be the breakout wide receiver this year. Jameis Winston's average depth of target 4 yards.
How many?
14.4.
That's huge.
Right. And I know it's a small sample size because of the limited time that he's played with him, but in other situations too, he really jives with Callaway. Let's see. Third downs, when he's under pressure, versus the blitz, he always favors Callaway. The only other time another receiver comes into question is in the red zone, and he favors Kamara.
Which makes sense.
Right. But unlike Atlanta. New Orleans actually has the second best strength of schedule when it relates to fantasy points given up to quarterbacks this year.
Ooh.
So, could we see another 5,000-yard pass season? I think it's possible.
Ooh. Okay, okay.
I think it's definitely possible, especially now we can get into wide receivers. Now that they added my boy Jarvis Landry, who I will try and target this year.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because he's gonna get some share of those targets. But let's not forget that they also drafted Chris Olave.
Yep.
They still have Tre'Quan Smith, and we still have mystery man Michael Thomas, who we don't know what he's gonna be after the whole fiasco with last year.
Well, he still hasn't practiced yet. He's still rehabbing. Like, I have no clue what the deal is with Michael Thomas.
I know. But that's right there. That's like gold right there.
He was the best wide receiver in football for 2 years in a row.
Right. Landry, Callaway, Olave, Smith, Thomas. I mean, Winston's going to have crazy weapons to throw to. That's not even to mention all the 10 other scrubs that are listed as wide receivers on the roster right now that could potentially break out if any of these guys gets injured. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting season for New Orleans. I'm excited. They still have Kamara, they still have Ingram and running back. But I don't know, Tony, what do you think's going on with Kamara?
I know his trial keeps getting postponed.
Yeah.
So
it's not going to affect this year.
I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where he had a down year last year, but that was because they went with the Taysom Hill experience after a while, and now Sean Payton's gone. So right. I'm excited to see this offense without Sean Payton being like, hey, Taysom Hill, get in there and go run the ball from the 5-yard line and get the touchdown. Like, I think Kamara is going to fall to the second round in fantasy drafts, and he's still a first-round talent. He's going to catch twice as many passes as he caught last year. He only caught like 40-something passes last year. Like,
yeah.
I think that number goes back up.
I would sure hope so, because he's fun to watch.
He's fucking awesome to watch. And I think at most he's going to get, if he gets suspended, it's 2 games tops. I don't really believe in faith in the NFL. I think if he had hit, and this is unfortunate to say because you shouldn't hit anybody, but
right.
I think such a macho culture is going to view attacks like a battery against another man differently than they would.
Of course. If
it was someone who was not male, and it sucks. People shouldn't fight, period. But
yeah,
I think Kamara doesn't get hit with as bad of a suspension as people might think. I think Kamara is a buy this year.
Okay. That's a good take. That's an optimistic take. I like that. And I agree with you. I think his targets are going to go up. And Jameis Winston has a really good passer rating between behind the line of scrimmage and between 0 and 20 yards, like really good. I think it was above 120.
Okay.
I don't have it in front of me, but that was what I was looking at earlier.
That's really good.
But yeah, I think this is going to be another Jameis Winston potential 5,000 passing yard season. And wow. and if he does that, I don't even care that he might throw 30 interceptions. Who cares? If he's putting up 5,000 yards, it means he's slinging the ball all over the field, and he'll get above 30 touchdowns. And this group of wide receivers, probably top 5 group of wide receivers in the NFL. If Thomas comes back and like is fine.
So if I said to you if I set the line at 9 for games, how many games does Michael Thomas play this year? Did you take the over or the under?
I take the over. He's got really? a lot. he's got a lot to prove after last year with the whole waiting on getting surgery and then having the surgery. I think he's back this year.
Okay.
I'm just going to be optimistic about it and hope that he's back. The only thing that really scares me about this offense is their tight ends. You know, like Tony said earlier, they still have Taysom Hill, which since you said like the coach is gone now, he's probably not. I really hope that they don't do any stupid bullshit plays for him.
right.
But they also picked up Nick Vinette from Seattle, and they still have Adam Trautman, and actually they have a bunch of other like tight ends I've never heard of on their roster, like more than any other roster that I was looking at. I don't know why that is, but maybe I don't know. But those are the three notable ones, and they're not that notable. So
right, you know who not, I really like.
Not expecting too much out of the tight end position in New Orleans, but they won't need them. They just need them for blocking this year.
I really like Abram Smith as an unsigned running back.
Really?
I do. Like,
where did he go to school?
Baylor, I want to say.
Okay.
He's a power guy. And so he's someone that I have on some of my like taxi squads for my dynasty leagues, cuz I think he's got opportunity to take like some of the in between the tackles carries that Kamara doesn't. So okay. That's someone that I've been watching out for, and that's someone that I want to monitor in the preseason and kind of see what his usage is.
Sure.
But I like the Saints' offense, too. I think that's a fun offense. I think there's a chance that it's really interesting this year because Sean Payton sucks as a play caller.
Yeah. And they play in the NFC South, which is, you know, one of the crappier divisions to play in. So
the South has some good defenses, though. Like, Robert Alford's one of the best, right? Is that his name? The cornerback for Atlanta? It's like one of the best cornerbacks in football.
Really? Carolina's
defense is pretty good, and Tampa Bay's defense is great, and the Saints play great defense too. So there's a lot. That's the problem, though. Is there's a lot of like 20-14 games in those divisional games, and like those aren't fun for fantasy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I feel like if this offense was in the AFC West, I'd put $50 on Jameis Winston throwing for 5,000 yards right now.
Right. Right.
But I think it's possible in this division. But I think Jameis is going to have another at least 4,000. He's already done it three times where he's thrown over 4,000 yards. So it's bound to happen again. And I think this offense that they've put together this year is going to help that.
Okay. I can see this offense being a heavy passing volume offense for sure. All right, so that's good. Good Saints knowledge. We're both high on the Saints this year.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, they other than I'd have to look up the first team, but like I said, they have the second best strength of schedule for quarterbacks this year.
Who would you rather have on your fantasy team this year, Jameis Winston or Matt Ryan?
Ooh, interceptions count as -2 or -4?
You bet they do. You bet they do.
Damn,
you gotta go Matty Ice, right? I mean,
I think so, but I could also, I don't know. I think if I was given that situation, I'd just flip a coin.
Okay, fair.
If those were the only two quarterbacks left, I'd flip a coin.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so last but not least for our quick little breeze through today, Tennessee. So we're going to talk about Ryan Tannehill a little bit. We were talking about Marcus Mariota. Now let's talk about the guy that took Marcus Mariota's job. 4-for-4 has Tannehill ranked as quarterback 20, so he's underneath Justin Fields but above Trevor Lawrence. And I get it. I think with Ryan Tannehill, there's like good actual real-life football players and good fantasy players, and I think that that's where Tannehill splits.
And good game managers. That's right. Really all they're asking Tannehill to do is just manage the clock with you know, because their run game, that's all they do is run.
Right. So he's a fine quarterback for a ball control offense like Tennessee. And he had some great games in the past, but 2021 was his worst season since joining Tennessee.
Was it?
Yes. Got a fun fact for you. Ryan Tannehill rushed for more touchdowns last year than Dalvin Cook, DeAndre Swift, Alvin Kamara, Aaron Jones, and Elijah Mitchell.
Oh my God, for real?
Ryan Tannehill rushed for 7 touchdowns last year.
Damn.
So you can sit back and say to yourself, like, yeah, I know, but Derrick Henry was hurt for a lot of year, and that's true, but Ryan Tannehill had 7 rushing touchdowns in 2020 as well. He gets rushing touchdowns. That's just what he does.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was that many.
So he needs those touchdowns, though, to stay fantasy relevant because he's been regressing hard since 2020. Like, the Falcons offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, is the guy that was the Titans offensive coordinator. Right. And when he left, everything went down. Derrick Henry's yards per carry went down. A.J. Brown's broken tackle rate went down. Tannehill's overall efficiency, they all went down. Last year, Ryan Tannehill finished as a top 10 fantasy quarterback only 4 times the whole season.
For real? Wow.
Yeah. Tannehill's great over the middle, and that works really well off of play action. He led the league in attempts and accuracy over the middle, and that was what A.J. Brown did well. He's been replaced by Treylon Burks, which is a downgrade, but the addition of Robert Woods is a major upgrade over Julio Jones. And I even like Kyle Phillips a little bit, too. A.J. Brown was Ryan Tannehill's security blanket and had almost 3 times more the amount of targets than anyone else on the offense.
Wow. 3 times?
3 times as much. Almost. He was like 146, and the next guy had like 50.
Wow.
Tannehill ended the Titans season by throwing 3 interceptions in a loss to Cincy. He's usually a game manager, and he did the opposite. So now here we are, waiting for the team to, like, we're going to run it back without our best target. Tannehill was quarterback 18 in fantasy, and he had 7 rushing touchdowns. That should tell you exactly what you already know about Ryan Tannehill. He's fucking mid. He's not going back to 30-plus touchdowns and single-digit interceptions anymore. Not without A.J. Brown. However, I think it's a good thing that he's got multiple targets to focus on so teams can't just focus on that one receiver spot.
Sure.
But missing that guy is going to suck. For redraft, I expect Tannehill to be on waivers when the season starts, and like he's a wait and see. I have no interest in drafting him anywhere.
Yeah.
All right, so let's have some fun and talk a little bit about Derrick Henry. He missed 8 games last year with a bone break. But before that, he averaged 26.5 carries a game.
He was on pace for like 3,000 yards when he went out.
He went out, he played 9 games and had 999 yards rushing. He came back from a broken fucking foot in the playoffs, and they gave him 20 carries.
Yeah. He looked like shit. He looked like shit, though.
So his broken foot is a concern. But even more than that is that even before he got hurt, his numbers were in slow decline. 4-for-4 has the Titans offensive line ranked as like the 20th best offensive line, which is not good. They lost 2 players to Buffalo, and they brought a 3rd-round pick on to replace them. What I fear is that Derrick Henry this year is going to look like Derrick Henry of last year. Well, he'll have a game with 29 carries, 130 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And then he'll have another game where he gets 29 carries and get 86 yards and no score.
Right.
Derrick Henry is the best runner in football. And he's got running back 1 upside. And his downside is really, like, what, running back 7?
Yeah.
If he's healthy, like, he's going to crush. He's going to get 25-plus carries a game simply because this is his team and his offense, and fuck you, it's Derrick Henry.
Right.
This offense being so running back-focused means that Hassan Haskins, who's never taken an NFL snap and was incredibly whatever in college, is now one of the best running back handcuffs in football. Wow. He has a similar running style as Henry. He's got that big Henry body.
Oh, is he a big guy?
Yeah. And Derrick Henry loves him, by the way. Derrick Henry talks about how impressive he's been.
Working out together and shit?
I don't know about that, but he's saying like in camp that this guy's looking like he's getting it pretty quick. I would monitor because they have Dontrell Hilliard there too. So that's just a backfield to monitor.
But they tried that experiment last year and it didn't pan out.
But if Hassan Haskins is the number two running back on the Tennessee Titans this year when the season starts, I think he's just as valuable as Alexander Mattison.
Wow, bold statement.
Think about the way that offense runs, man. He's gonna get 20 touches a game.
Yeah, true. Right.
All right, so the wide receivers, we'll touch on a couple. We've got Treylon Burks, Robert Woods, Nick Westbrook, Akine, Kyle Phillips, and something called a Des Fitzpatrick. I don't know what that is. All right, Treylon Burks is going to get the A.J. Brown role in this offense, and it's a juicy one. A.J. Brown had 7.8 targets a game.
That's crazy.
That's a lot. There's reports that Treylon Burks is out of shape right now, but hey, that's why you have strength and conditioning coaches, so I'm sure he'll get back into shape, ready to go by week one. So does Burks get all of that role? Does he get all 7.8 targets per game, or does Robert Woods come in, take some of those targets? Because Julio's gone too, right? So if there's 53 other targets, over 200 targets at the wide receiver position are gone.
Yeah.
So how much of that goes to Burks? How much of that goes to Woods? Tennessee leads the NFL in vacated targets, vacated target percentage, and vacated targets inside the 10-yard line.
Really?
Yes. 233 receiver targets are up for grabs in this offense. So hopefully, I think the hope is right now that Robert Woods will be cleared by the time training camp rolls around, and hopefully he is. So if him and Tannehill build rapport, like, that could be great.
Sure.
Right now, 4-for-4's rankings, Robert Woods is wide receiver 34, which I think is actually pretty accurate. Burks is wide receiver 39, depending on what day you're looking. I think Burks is a fun play in any dynasty format, any redraft format, but it depends on how this offseason goes. I think there's a lot to worry about. I think Westbrook Akine will take a step back on his targets if Woods and Burks are healthy, but I like Kyle Phillips a lot coming out of the slot since that was his spot in college.
Okay.
He was the guy that got comped to Hunter Renfro constantly.
That guy? Shit.
So that's someone to watch, especially to see where he lands on the... If he's week one starting slot receiver for the Tennessee Titans, I'm fucking in, right?
Cool.
But right now, I'm chilling. He's on my deep watch. Get him in the third round of rookie drafts, usually. All right, so I would take Woods or Burks as my wide receiver 3 in redraft. And I've done 3 rookie drafts so far this summer, and I have Kyle Phillips on my taxi squad for each. All right, 61 tight end targets are gone now because the tight end scene's all fucked up there.
Yeah.
Anthony Firkser's gone. Mecole Pruitt is also gone. They've been replaced by Austin Hooper and rookie Chig Okonkwo.
Yeah.
Who was okay. He had okay tape. He didn't pop.
I think Austin Hooper's a great add to that.
So last year, remember I was telling you Mo Alie-Cox's average depth of target was almost 10 yards?
Yeah.
Austin Hooper's was less than 6 yards a target.
Yeah, but that was with Baker.
But I will say this. Last year, that was also right around where the Titans were. So a lot of short passes for the Titans in this offense. Hooper's the tight end, number one tight end. He's a tempting flyer, but I think he's being ranked around tight end 21. And I think that's accurate because that offensive spot is just not super high volume.
No, it's like, not a high, yeah.
The Colts had like over 100 combined targets in the tight end room, and I think the Titans had like, you know, in the like mid-70s, mid-80s. I hope that the tight end spot picks up some of those, like, oh yeah, we got all these vacated targets inside the 10-yard line. We need a big body. Maybe maybe if you wait a couple weeks and you see where those quality targets are going, that's about when I would want to pounce on that tight end room. Like, if okay. I know that Hooper or Jeff Swaim or Chig Okonkwo are getting routine targets inside the 10-yard line, I'm in. But until then,
yeah.
I'd rather have Mo Alie-Cox all day.
I don't think I'm going to be targeting very many offensive players from Tennessee this year outside of Burks and Henry.
Where do you take Burks as the first rookie wide receiver off the board?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
I'm getting, like, I've been Burks.
He's got a huge role to fill.
I've been Burks this whole time, all about Team Burks. Team Burks all the way.
Oh, and I know.
I'm worried about him coming into camp out of shape. Like, that makes me nervous. Like, he has asthma and he hasn't been practicing very much. Like, come on, dude, you need to be the fucking guy.
Yeah.
So I'm rooting for you, Traylon. Come on, bro. You're the shit.
He needs that person in his life to tell him, hey, man, this is your chance to be an NFL awesome receiver. Like, don't blow it.
I'm sure he's trying his best. I hope that it works out for him. All right, so that's episode 36, which means episode 37 is the Carolina Panthers, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and then the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Houston Texans.
Ooh.
Yeah, I got some good stuff. I got some good stuff about the Jaguars so far.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
that was good. So that's it for us. It's 12:35 p.m. So let me get a hot take from Ryan on the Fives.
Hot take. Let's see.
Maybe about someone we talked about today.
I think I already did my hot take with Jameis Winston having another 5,000-yard season.
That's a good hot take. I'll give you one of mine based on some of the players we've talked about today. I think that Alec Pierce scores more fantasy points this year than half the wide receivers drafted in the first round.
Ooh, I like that.
There it is. Spicy takes to end the night. All right, so that's a wrap. Goodbye, Ryan. It's been a pleasure. Craig, you fucked up today, but I'm glad you came in, and so glad you figured it out.
At least we got him to work.
Yeah. So, all right, take care, everybody. We'll see you in a week. Oh, should we do the, like, you got to like our podcast and, like, give it 5 stars, and we'll send you, I don't know, wave files of us ripping a bong? I don't know.
We'll send you paper clips.
I will absolutely send somebody paper clips. All right. Good night, everybody. Yeah, Mo Alie target